The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
I'm very grateful to be able to be here again this year. I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles to the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 1. 1 Chronicles chapter 1 in the Old Testament. While you're turning there, let me just say very briefly for those of you that are going to be here tomorrow during the day sessions. At the time that the schedule was printed, we didn't know yet what I was going to be speaking on. And so I'm just going to mention to you real quick that tomorrow morning at 9:50, when I speak the first time in a teaching session, I'm going to teach a 10-step procedure that Brother Hiles went through every time he led someone. It's not something he ever wrote in a book. It's not something he ever taught in public. In fact, I never heard him say what I'm going to say tomorrow morning, but I observed him for the 26 years that I worked for him, and I noticed this pattern that he used. Every time he led someone, he used these same 10 steps, and I'm going to teach that tomorrow morning at 9:50. And then tomorrow afternoon at 1:30, I'm going to speak on how to start a bus route and have 40 the first Sunday. I was teaching at the National Bus Conference one year, and a man walked up to me, and he said, "I want to thank you for that lecture on how to start a bus route and have 40. He said, "I was here last year, and I heard you teach that. I went home and did it, and we had 51 the first Sunday on our bus." Amen. The next day there at the conference, a man said, "I bought your book on the bus ministry, and I read that chapter on how to start a route and have 40. He said, "I had 52 the first Sunday we ran the bus." The very next day, 3 days in a row, I was back home now, and my phone rang, and a man said, "I bought your book on how to run a bus ministry, and I read the chapter on how to start a route." And he said, "I did everything you said exactly the way you said, and it didn't work. I was wondering if I could get my money back." He said, "I only had 39 on the first Sunday." But I'm going to teach that tomorrow. It has been used successfully many times. And so if either one of those subjects might interest you, or it might help you to know where to go tomorrow, which session to attend, I thought I would mention that since we were not able to get it in the printed material. When I think of Bible characters, I think of Adam and Noah, or Abraham, or Joseph, Gideon, David, Daniel, Peter, Paul, Timothy, and so forth. But you know, I never think of Jabez. In fact, I wonder how many people in the room tonight could even tell us much about Jabez. I mean, could you tell me where he was born? Could you tell me where he lived? Can you tell me who his parents are? Can you tell me who he married? How many children he had? Could you tell me what kind of work he did, or how he died? In fact, the Bible only mentions Jabez one time. If you would, turn to chapter 4, in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And I want to read verse 10. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10. "And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, 'Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me.' And God granted him that which he requested." Notice that Jabez called upon the right God. There is only one God. There is no God of Buddha. There is no God of Allah. I don't care what our Supreme Court says. I don't care what our former president said. There's just one God. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the Lord God Almighty, the true and living God. And Jabez called upon the right God, the God of Israel. And he asked for four things. Notice, first of all, he said, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed." He was passionate about what he asked for. Notice he said, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me." He realized he needed God's blessing, and not just a little, he needed it indeed. This was not one of those, as I lay me down to sleep with a bag of peanuts at my feet, if I should die before I wake, please give them to my brother Jake. It wasn't one of those little ditties that we pray so often. No, this was a passionate prayer that he needed God's blessing. And then the second thing he asked for was that God would enlarge his coast. The word coast there refers to a border or borders. And so, I don't know, was he asking God to enlarge his country? Was he asking God to enlarge his personal properties? Was he asking God to enlarge his wealth? Or as most people think, he was maybe asking God to enlarge his influence, which simply means to have more responsibilities in order to be able to help more people. You know, every Christian ought to have a group of people for whom you feel responsible. Every Christian ought to have a group of people over whom you're trying to have some influence. Someone or someones you're trying to help. The Bible said, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. My goal in life is not to have enough to take care of my family. My goal in life is not to have enough to live luxuriously. My goal in life is to have enough that when somebody needs something, I've got it to give to them. There ought to be a Sunday school class or a bus route or a junior church or an RU ministry or some converts you won to Christ or some prospects you're trying to win to Christ. Or there ought to be some group somewhere that you feel responsible for helping those people. He said, number three, and that thine hand might be with me. You know, we could spend the rest of our lives preaching, teaching, writing, talking about the need that we have for God's presence. Five times the Bible says something along this line. The Lord was with Joseph. The Lord made all that he did to prosper. Oh, how we need God's presence. When we go soul winning, we need God's presence. When we witness, we need God's presence. When we preach, when we teach, when we start a church or build a church or oversee or build a ministry, we need God's presence. And then number four, he said, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil that it may not grieve me. You know, I not only need God's protection from the evil that others might do to me, but much more than that, I need God's protection from the evil that I might want to do to you, that it might not grieve me. And then, of course, the most amazing part about the whole verse are those last words. God granted him that which he requested. How many sermons have we heard on the prayer of Jabez? How many sermons have we heard on the Jabez's prayer? His prayer has been analyzed. It's been dissected. It's been explained thousands of times. And we've all been blessed. We've been encouraged. We've been inspired by verse 10. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. But what about verse 9? Verse 9 says, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him in sorrow. You know, we like the way verse 10 ends. God granted him that which he requested. But verse 9 begins with, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And the problem is this. Verse 9 comes before verse 10. How many of us have memorized verse 10? How many of us have quoted verse 10 even to God? How many of us have used verse 10 as a prayer promise? How many of us have asked God, do you love me as much as you love Jabez? How many of us have reminded God, you said you were no respecter of persons? Our problem is not God's memory. Our problem is not God's trustworthiness. Our problem is verse 9 comes before verse 10. Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And you know, you and I could be more honorable if we'd learn to get up on time. We could be more honorable if we'd read our Bible and pray every day. We could be more honorable if we would learn to dress appropriately and modestly. We could be more honorable sometimes if we'd just shave and comb our hair and polish our shoes. You know, we could be more honorable if we'd go to work and if we'd get there a little bit early and be in a good mood when we arrive and work hard while we're there and follow procedures and obey the rules and respect the boss. You know, you and I could be more honorable if we would just control our spending and live within our means and pay our bills on time, including our debt to pay our tithe to God. You and I could be more honorable if we would guard what our eyes see and what our ears hear and what our tongue says. You and I could be more honorable if we'd learn to live by schedule and keep our word. We want to be blessed indeed, but getting up on time comes first. We want Him to enlarge our coast, but reading your Bible faithfully comes first. We want His hand to be with us, but hours a week in prayer comes first. We want God to keep us from the evil, but dressing appropriately comes first. We want Him to grant our requests, but sometimes just shaving and combing your hair and shining your shoes makes a big difference. You see, the problem is this. Verse 9 comes before verse 10. You and I want to be blessed indeed, but getting to work a little bit early comes first. We want Him to enlarge our coast, but arriving at work in a good mood comes first. We want His hand to be with us, but working hard comes first. We want God to keep us from evil, but following the procedures and obeying the rules come first. We want Him to grant our requests, but paying your bills comes first. You see, verse 9 comes before verse 10. We want to be blessed indeed, but living by schedule comes first. We want Him to enlarge our coast, but keeping your word comes first. More honorable than his brethren comes before blessed indeed. More honorable than his brethren comes before enlarge my coast. More honorable than his brethren comes before granted him that which he requested. You see, the problem is this. Verse 9 comes before verse 10. We want God to give us a job, but diligently working to find one comes first. We want a better job or promotion or a raise in pay, but being respectful to the boss comes first. We want God to help us pay our bills, but living within your means comes first. We want God to give us a full bus or a full Sunday school class or a full junior church, but many hours of visitation week after week after week comes first. We want to see changed lives, but living in this book and reading this book and memorizing this book and living by this book and teaching this book comes first. You know, it's not some magical spoofle dust that God sprinkles down out of heaven that changes lives. It's not your personality that changes lives. It's not my persuasiveness that changes lives. It's this book that changes lives. It's not my sermon. It's not my outline. It's not my jokes. It's not my stories. It's truth that sets us free, and this book is full of truth. We want to have influence over many, but being faithful to the few comes first. You see, verse 9 comes before verse 10. We want wisdom, but seeking knowledge comes first. We want our barns to be filled with plenty, but honoring the Lord with our first fruit and all our substance comes first. We want a this kind of miracle, but prayer and fasting comes first. We want to be like the tree planted by the water, but meditating in His law day and night comes first. We want to be wise, but walking with wise men comes first. And that means you're going to have to turn off most of your talk radio. That means you're going to have to turn off most of your talk television shows. If I could convince all of us tonight to believe one verse, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. That includes not going to his talk show. That includes not going to his talk radio program. If I could get us to believe that one verse, it would make a difference in our lives. Amen. We want the profit, but the labor comes first. We want to have friends, but showing yourself friendly comes first. We want to control our body. We want to control how big it is, or how healthy it is, or how small it is, or what it sees, or what it hears, or what it touches, or where it goes, or how it looks and what it does. But controlling the tongue comes first. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Controlling the tongue comes first. We want to take a city, but ruling your spirit comes first. We want to be happy, but appreciating the nine things we have instead of pouting about the one we don't have comes first. Have you ever seen those plaques that they sell at the Christian bookstore, the prayer of Jabez? Jabez's prayer. You know, they put them on a real nice, brass plaque, and they engrave the verse on there, and sometimes they even put it on a real fancy piece of shiny wood, and they sell it in the Christian bookstore. And if you'll buy that plaque in the Christian bookstore and take it home and hang it on the wall in your house, then God owes you a favor. Or at least that's what we think. We look at it like a four-leaf clover, like a rabbit's foot, like a lucky charm, you know. If you buy that prayer, that plaque, and you put it on the wall and you walk by and read it every once in a while, then God really owes you a favor. And if you dust it once in a while and maybe even shine it, then God just, he's committed. He's got to do what you want. But you know, I've never seen a plaque for sale in a bookstore of verse 9. Not one time ever. I've been in Christian bookstores all over America, all over Mexico, all over a few places in the Philippines and Thailand and so forth. And not one single time have I ever seen verse 9 for sale in a Christian bookstore. We like verse 10, but we don't like verse 9. You know, we want to be comforted, but you have to mourn first. We want to have joy that cometh in the morning, but weeping that endureth for a night comes first. We want to be filled with His Spirit, but hungering and thirsting after righteousness comes first. We want people to show us mercy, but you must show yourself merciful first. We want the double portion, but as my soul liveth, I will not leave thee comes first. We want the bread, but the importunity comes first. When our friend comes at his darkest hour at midnight and he says to us, I've got a need and I need some bread, and we want to be the one to go get the bread and give it to him, but you have to go and knock on your neighbor's door, and you have to go back and knock again and 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 go back and knock again. The knocking comes before the bread. We want to be avenged of our adversary, but the continual coming comes first. I don't know about you, but the biggest problem I have in life is that God gave me a book that's perfect. The King James Bible, inspired and preserved word for word in my language, exactly the way God wanted me to have it, except He made one mistake. He got verse 9 and verse 10 in the wrong order. And that has created a lot of problems in my life. I remember when Reader's Digest came out with what they called the Reader's Digest condensed version of many, many different books. And I don't know if you know this or not, but at one time they were even peddling what they called the Reader's Digest version of the Bible. Now, I don't know about you, but if I had sat on the committee that drew up that Bible, which I wouldn't have done, but if I had, I would have voted, let's leave out verse 9. If God would bless me, then I could be more honorable. At least that's the way we pray. As if it's God's fault. We want to plant, but the plowing comes first. We want to reap, but the sowing comes first. We want to come again rejoicing, bringing our sheaves, but the going forth weeping and bearing precious seed comes first. You know, I suppose every mother in the world would enjoy the verse, her children arise up and call her blessed. But you know, before you read that verse, you read, she worketh willingly with her hands. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night. She giveth meat to her household. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hand to the spindle. All her household are clothed. She looketh well to the ways of her household. She eateth not the bread of idleness. All that comes first. You see, verse 9 comes before verse 10, even in the book of Proverbs. I suppose every wife in the world would like that verse, her husband, he praiseth her. But before you read her husband, he praiseth her, you read her husband doth safely trust in her. She will do him good. She considereth a field. She planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength. She strengtheneth her hands, stretcheth out her hand to the poor. She reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She maketh herself coverings. She maketh fine linen. Strength and honor are her clothing. She openeth her mouth with wisdom. In her tongue is the law of kindness. All of that comes first. Hey, are you men like me? Would you like to someday be the general of the army? Would you like to someday be the one that leads the forces into battle and wins the great victory? But before you become the general of the army, you have to face the giant. Were you like me as a little kid? I always wanted to be Mighty Mouse. Hey, don't laugh. He always beat up the bad guy and got the pretty girl. I wanted to be Mighty Mouse. But then I got a little older and became more sophisticated, you know. And so then I wanted to be Johnny Quest. You remember Johnny Quest and his buddy Haji and their spotted little dog. And they went around the world with their uncle and beat up all the bad guys and saved the world. But before you kill the giant, you have to protect the sheep. We want to write the Psalms, but learning to play the harp comes first. We want to write the book of Ephesians, but fighting the beast at Ephesus comes first. We want to preach like Lester Roloff, but taking your stand comes first. We want to be used like D.L. Moody, but being filled with the Spirit and power of God comes first. We want to write like John R. Rice, but learning to spell comes first. We want to finish our course, but fighting a good fight comes first. We want to hear well done, but being a good and faithful servant comes first. We want everybody to live happily ever after just because they did. We want life to be a fairy tale, because in the fairy tale, verse 10 comes first and then verse 9. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. And if you will, then I will be more honorable than my brethren. You know, it's not some spoofle dust that makes you more honorable. It's not some spoofle dust that causes you to work hard. It's not some spoofle dust that makes you honest. It's not some spoofle dust that causes you to have a good spirit or to love or to be kind or to be generous. You see, the problem is this. In the Bible, there are no fairy tales. In the Bible, there's just truth. And the truth is, verse 9 comes before verse 10.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.